May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 1021. O Zion, when I think on thee, I wish for pinions like the dove, and mourn to think that I should be so distant from the place I love. Hymn 1021.
Thank you. read together from the 89th Psalm. The 89th Psalm. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heaven. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations, Selah. Then the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord. Thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. To who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea, and the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Thou scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm. Strong is thy hand and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favour our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defence, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One and said, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. My arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. I will beat down his foes before his face, then plague them that hate him. That my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. Thy mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with a rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness in heaven. Selah. Thou hast cast off and abhorred. Thou hast been wroth with thine anointed. Thou hast made the covenant of thy servant. Thou hast made void the covenant of thy servant. Thou hast profaned his crown by casting it to the ground. Thou hast broken down all his hedges. Thou hast brought his strongholds to ruin. All that pass by the way spoil him. He is a reproach to his neighbour. Thou hast set up the right hand of his adversary. Thou hast made all his enemies to rejoice. Thou hast also turned the edge of his sword, and hast not made him to stand in the battle. Thou hast made his glory to cease, and cast his throne down to the ground. The days of his youth hast thou shortened. Thou hast covered him with shame, Selah. Lord, how long? Wilt thou hide thyself forever? Shall thy wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave, Selah? Lord, where are thy former loving kindnesses which thou swearest unto David in thy truth? Remember, Lord, the reproach of thy servants. I do bear in my bosom the reproach of all the mighty people, wherewith thine enemies have reproached, O Lord, where they have reproached the footsteps of thine anointed. Blessed be the Lord for evermore. Amen and amen. Dear Lord, we come to thee now in utter dependence, seeking thy face and thy presence here this morning, and thy blessing to rest upon thy holy word of truth. Come and use it to thine honour and glory. O grant, gracious God, there may be fruit. We may have understanding given us in the truth, and be brought to anchor in it by faith, and to find our eternal rest there. To know thy presence and thy help, thy grace and thy strength, thy wisdom and thy teaching, thy leading and thy guiding, undertaking mercies in all things, that we might enter into the experience and knowledge of thy faithfulness, thy mercy, that eternal and everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. O gracious God, it is thy mercy that thou dost in our hearts give us those exceeding great and precious promises which are founded in that eternal and everlasting covenant. And Lord, thy word is unalterable, unchangeable. Thou art that God that changes not. And Lord, we pray that we might be enabled to find our rest in that covenant. But Lord, there lies thy mercy. We, undeserving of the least of all thy mercies, yet, gracious God, thou art that one who changes not, faithful to thy holy word. Oh, that we might be enabled this day to raise our eyes to thee in heaven, to find that blessed anchor of our souls, both sure and steadfast, to find in thee our hope. Look down, we pray thee, into the hearts of those who are gathered, and knowest each heart's bitterness, the exercises of every living soul. Lord, the upward glancing of an eye when none but God is near, the silent falling of a tear. Gracious God, we thank thee for that blessed work of thy Spirit which takes away the heart of stone and gives a heart of flesh. It strips of the religion of the Pharisee and all his self-righteousness, brings down to a broken heart. Lord, we pray for that blessed mercy. Bring the sinner to thy mercy seat in confession and repentance, a godly sorrow and sorrow for sin, mourning over sin and after thee. Gracious God, we pray for that work of thy Spirit which changes the world, turns the feet to Zion's hill by a mighty omnipotent power. We pray in this congregation, Lord, that thou wouldst move and work by thy blessed Spirit, that thy holy word may indeed drop as the rain, distill as the dew upon the mown grass, that there may be a softening influence in the soul. Sinners may be brought to thee as little children. For thou hast said, except you become as little children, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. And it is thy mighty divine work to take away that heart of stone. Then give, gracious God, that life of God in the soul, that which leads to Christ, leads to thy mercy seat, leads to confession, godly sorrow and repentance, then leads to Calvary's cross, there to know that precious blood that did for sin atone. Lord, we pray for that work. Send out thy light and thy truth this day. May they enter into the heart. For thy word is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing asunder, dividing even to the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. O gracious God, lead sinners to Calvary's cross. Bring them to thy mercy seat in confession and repentance. Bring them to know thee, the eternal God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Lord, we pray for the divine operations of the Holy Spirit to rest upon thy divinely ordained means, the instrument that thou hast ordained, even the foolishness of preaching. For we read that as in the wisdom of God, please God, man by wisdom should know not God, so it pleased him, by the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. Lord, thy servants are but human instruments in thy hands and in thy divine purposes. And we pray, gracious God, as they stand up this day in thy holy name, whatever land they may be in, anoint thy servants and grant there may be fruit to their labour. Grant, gracious God, that thy will may be done in earth as it is in heaven. And that there may be, Lord, those gathered out and gathered in. We watch, one by one, thou dost take thy living family to glory. The harvest has come. The seed time is over. The spring is past. The summer is gone. And the winter. And Lord, there comes the harvest. The gathering in of thy dear church. We thank thee for that evident witness. That one by one thou callest thy dear living family to be with thee forever. The streams on earth they've tasted, more deep they'll drink above. They have known thee here below and walked with thee and communed with thee. But now, Lord, they see thee face to face. Dear Lord, as thou dost gather one by one, we thank thee for the sweet witness and testimony that it is well. Sweet in our hearts, the memory of the just is blessed. We pray for thy dear servant, Mr. Wallace, and his loved one at this time, in the path they are now walking in. Be with her, comfort her heart, set her feet upon that rock, grant her peace, oh, good hope through grace. And Lord, the last great trial of faith is passing through the valley of the shadow of death to keep our eyes on Jesus fixed and there our hopes to stay. Lord, we pray for thy dear servant. Comfort his heart as thou only art able to do. We thank thee that thou didst come here to this earth to mourn with those that mourn and to rejoice with those that do rejoice. Look then, we pray thee upon our dear friend and his loved one and each of thy people walking in deep waters. Lord, thou seest the pathway. One in the hospital at Tunbridge Wells, we pray for him. Lord, look down upon thy dear people and sanctify deep sorrows, deep affliction. And grant, gracious God, that there may come out of them that which is to thine own honour and glory. For thou indeed dost move in a mysterious way thy wonders to perform. Dost plant thy footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable minds of never failing skill, he treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. Lord, we pray thou would sanctify afflictions as we believe thou dost and hast done here in this congregation. Lord, grant there may be that which shall last for a lifetime. Precious memories to look back to of thy faithfulness, thy mercy, walking it out in the sweetness of it. To know that we have had a God, as we look back in our life, who has brought us through many afflictions, many deep waters, many trials, and we have profited in those hours in sweet communion with thyself and known what it has been to know that thou art there. And Lord, never to forget those sacred seasons. Israel had her Elim, and she had her deliverance at the Red Sea, never to be forgotten. Though walking in many paths of disobedience, yet ever to remember thy faithfulness. Lord, we thank thee for that eternal covenant, unalterable, unchangeable. Though thy people depart from thee, yet nevertheless thou wilt keep that covenant. It cannot be changed or altered. Though thou dost chasten, yet thou dost love, and wilt bring thy church to glory. Come on, thy dear aged people, Lord, as they pass at the end of time into eternity. Oh, grant they may be prepared and made ready. We think of those in our homes, that thou wouldst remember them each. In these, the latter days of the journey, and those connected with this cause here, Lord, we remember them, that thou wilt be with them, and comfort their hearts, and support them in age, weakness, infirmities of body and mind. And the young, Lord, we remember before thee this morning. Oh, come by thy Spirit here and hold them and keep them. Plant thy grace in their hearts. Lord, in the days of our unregeneracy, we all carry a solemn conscience that speaks to us of right and wrong. But oh, when thou dost come by thy grace into our hearts, thou dost convict and convince of sin. Bring us to thy mercy seat, in confession and godly sorrow and repentance, and grant a solemn realization that we need thee to keep us and to guide us. And we read in thy holy word those sacred truths, so did on I, because of the fear of the Lord. Maybe so with the young here, Lord. Plant thy fear in their hearts, in their youth. Bring them to know thee, the eternal God and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Bless them indeed. And gracious God, reveal thy love and mercy, the sovereign grace, in their hearts. Bring them, dear Lord, in that ordered time and way, to that blessed place, of which thy word speaks. If you love me, if you love me, keep my commandments, for they're not grievous. Lord, we pray that there may in this church and congregation be that keeping of thy commandments in love, that precious obedience, the obedience of faith, to be brought to rest in thyself, to follow thee in thy pathway. Lord, it is thy will that thy dear church shall be upheld. Thou hast laid thine ordinances in thy house for that solemn purpose. And we watch them so solemnly neglected in our day and generation, revealing the solemn truth that there is a lack of love. But gracious God, we pray, thou hast grant a willingness, readiness of mind, and obedience, O keep from the solemn and awful powers of disobedience. Lord, we know that there have been those exercised in concern, turned their back upon thy truth, and turned their back upon that spirit of obedience, and have lived all their lives to regret it. Look down then, we pray thee, and favour this people, be with the deacons in office. Support, uphold, and sustain them. And gracious God, grant wisdom and grace in the affairs of the church and congregation. Dear Lord, we pray for thy servants as they stand up in thy holy name. Oh, grant, gracious God, the anointing of thy Spirit this day. And as they stand up here in this place from Sabbath to Sabbath, may there be a proving of thy holy word Paul may sow and Apollos water, but God giveth the increase. We pray for the nation, his vast darkness and wickedness. Lord, we have watched the events of the past week. We have seen thy solemn judgments upon this land. Bankrupt morally, financially, Lord, spiritually, politically, oh, we pray thee to raise up God-fearing men in the affairs of state, yet. Grant there may be some yet in this new parliament. Oh, Lord, overrule and undertake in this nation. We're in a solemn condition and thy judgments are upon us. Then we feel it and know it. But thou art a God of mercy and thou hast had favours to this land in generations past. We look back to the Reformation, the great era of the Puritans, the evangelical awakening in the 18th century, the outpouring of thy Spirit in this land. And, Lord, to the spreading of the gospel in the 19th century to the four corners of the earth. And thou hast used this land. The gracious God, we have seen modernism, higher criticism, humanism, evils creeping into this land. Thy holy word has been translated and retranslated. And thou seest the solemn confusion regarding thy word. But, Lord, we pray that thou wouldst have mercy upon us. Oh, turn us as a nation once again to thy holy word. We can expect no prosperity until we are brought to that threshold of thy truth in thy holy word, till we are brought to thy holy law as the standard of our life and society. Once upon a time, Lord, thou knowest the word of God was the standard of this nation. Thy holy day was kept. Every house had a Bible in it. Now we live in a day of darkness, atheism and evil, and we witness persecution rising all around to the truth and to the name of Christ. We see great inroads of evil, paganism and darkness. A man of sin coming to this land, stop him if it can be thy holy will. And have mercy upon this land. Preserve to us our Protestant Reformed heritage and constitution. It cost the lives of many dear saints who went to the stake, went to the scaffold, Lord, for the truth's sake. But thou remainest. Thou art able to do more abundantly than we can even ask or think. We pray yet that, Lord, there may be the mighty outpouring of thy Spirit once again in this godless land. Raise up and equip and send forth other labourers into thy vineyard. Can be thy sovereign will. And O grant, gracious God, grace to those who have recently gone out. Raise up others. Use the generation, Lord, that is rising up before us. Bless them indeed. Make them instruments in thy hand in their day and generation. And O grant, gracious God, the anointing of thy Spirit to be manifest in this land once again, that will stem these tides of darkness and wickedness, atheism, Lord, the solemn attacks upon the truth coming even from this university in Cambridge. Lord, we see it in some of the evil men, Lord, that hate the truth and propagate atheism, but thou remainest there in thy hands. One day they will hasten to a solemn and awful judgment. But Lord, the influence upon the young is evil. And this university once knew God-fearing men in its pulpits and in its colleges. We pray those raise up a following generation. Look down upon us now, we pray thee, Lord, this day. We thank thee for the Sabbath day. We thank thee for thy open word. We thank thee for freedom to worship and freedom to preach the gospel. Ever maintain it to us. Preserve to us our national independence as a nation. Keep us from amalgamation with the powers of Europe, the Catholic powers that dominate Europe. And oh, grant, gracious God, that we may yet turn back to thy law, The legalized abominations in this land may be removed from our statute book, and our statute book may be brought into conformity to thy word, but there may yet be a turning again. Lord, thou who commandest this sea on Galilee, peace be still, are able to command the waters, the evils that are rising, the great waves of wickedness, and to grant peace in our land yet once again, and prosperity, blessed prosperity. Lord, look down. Help us now, Lord. We come to thy holy day and thy holy word. We seek thy anointing of thy Spirit. Touch our lips with a live coal from thy heavenly altar. Fill an earthen vessel, as we would lay all at thy dear feet, and pray for thy help, blessing and presence in the sanctuary of God here this morning, in the congregation. We ask with the pardon of every sin, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 1128. Eternal Father, Lord of all, by heaven and earth adored, regard thy guilty creature's call, who would revere thy word. Hymn 1128.
Thank you.
Thank you, the Lord's help. I direct your attention this morning to the 89th Psalm, reading verses 2 to 4. Psalm 89, reading verses 2 to 4. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations, Selah. I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations, Selah. The gospel is one perfect whole. The Lord, in his omnipotence, has his divine purposes, and he accomplishes them fully. He is not to be thwarted. Satan cannot stop the work of grace. And the two words which have drawn my attention to this text and these verses this morning, the first one is faithfulness, and the second is mercy. It's upon those two subjects I would desire to speak this morning. If you were watching and following as we read, you will realize that the word faithfulness appears in the first verse of this psalm, and it appears again and again. God is faithful, is a blessed word of truth. But linked with his faithfulness is his mercy. And you may have noticed as we read this psalm that we passed over a word here, nevertheless. My loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. These two words are closely connected to the fallen, ruined state, wretched state of mankind. That man in his fallen and ruined state deserves nothing. He has no claim upon God. All have sinned, says Scripture, and come short of the glory of God. He goes on in mercy, being justified freely by his grace. That is his mercy, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. One of the first things the Holy Spirit leads a poor sinner into when his eyes are opened and the work of God is begun in his heart is his need of mercy. That he has no claim upon his God. He is ruined, fallen, and deserves the eternal wrath of God against his sin. That he lies and has been without hope and without God in the world. And it is not by man's wisdom that there is a knowledge of God. It is solely and alone of God's mercy. This leads me on to another word in the text here, and that is covenant. The Lord in eternity past, before every created man, had an eternal covenant, a purpose, that he revealed in this earth. He revealed it peculiarly to Abraham in his promise to him, in thee and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And that seed, the Apostle Paul explains to us in his letter to the Hebrews, is Christ. Oh, an eternal covenant. Divine will and purpose of God in a trinity of persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to save a people undeserving of the least of his mercies through sovereign grace, and to bring them to be with him in glory, that they, in this time state as sinners, walking through this world in all their fallen and ruined condition, might prove again and again the substance of that covenant in his faithfulness to them, that he does not leave them. In the beauty of that lovely word, nevertheless, in spite of all their unbelief, all their rebellion, all their sin and evil, their fallen nature, nevertheless, will not take his covenant away. He will not in any way alter his divine purposes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. And why? Because of his covenant. The Lord has purposes, eternal purposes. We cannot in any way examine the reason for them. Why did he love Jacob and not Esau? Why is one taken and another left? Those were Christ's words. Two should be in a bed. One should be taken, the other left. Two should be at the mill. One taken and the other left. Because of his covenant. And he gives no account of his dealings. None whatsoever. We're told that all have sinned. All deserve his eternal wrath and judgment. All are responsible for their guilt and their condemnation and their unbelief. But of his sovereign grace, he has determined to manifest his glory in his mercy, in his grace, in his faithfulness. He is peculiarly a God of mercy. None can say that he did not deserve eternal punishment. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But if any are saved and brought to be with him in his presence in glory, it will be because of that eternal and everlasting covenant ordered in all things and sure. We read that blessed promise in his word to Jeremiah, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And here lies the approach of all God's dear children to his mercy seat. They must come as beggars. They must come pleading for mercy. Jesus, they said in his day, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And this is the place that God is honored and worshipped by fallen sinners coming to beg for this mercy and to enter into it in the sweet experience of it. To know the love of Christ to their souls, and have a sacred and blessed sight of his mercy. Now, we would desire to look then at these words. I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. What a blessed subject mercy is. In terms of the law, and it used to be in my younger days, quite striking, when we had capital punishment in this land, it was the prerogative of the sovereign, if she so wished, to grant a reprieve, an act of mercy. If we look at it spiritually, and consider the solemn nature of the reward of our sins, which is eternal banishment from the presence of God forever. That is eternal death. It is an act of divine grace. mercy. And when we look at this word mercy, the grand reprieve, what is bound up in it? You see, the truth is this. Something had to be done before God could extend that scepter of mercy to his dear people. And bound up in this word is the suffering sorrows of the eternal Son of God. God did not abrogate his holy law. God did not cast the sins of his dear church into utter forgetfulness without a sacred remedy. The mercy of God extended to his dear family is in his dear Son, in his finished work. God is faithful and was in sending his dear Son into this earth that his dear people might die. The covenant in eternity past, ordered in all things and sure, that there would be a people in thee and in thy seed, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, was in Christ. And for this sole scepter of mercy to be extended, the eternal Son of God had to come here in his incarnation and walk this earth in his suffering sorrows and pass to Calvary's cross to enter in to those sufferings to offer himself a sacrifice for sin. And therein lies the avenue for this precious mercy to be extended to his dear church. No other way. It could not be extended in any other way. And God was faithful in sending his dear Son into this earth to die for sinners. In that eternal covenant, in eternity past, a covenant revealed to Abraham. His Son is mentioned in thee and in thy seed. Shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And you know, it is as the work of the Holy Spirit that proceeds from the work of the Son in the hearts of his dear people. That work of the Holy Spirit is begun, and they are brought to their knees to beg for mercy. There is a place of mercy, a blood sprinkled mercy seat. Blessed place. There is a perfect pattern there in the mercy seat. It was above the ark. The ark was constituted of gopher wood, coated with gold. And upon the top of it was the solid gold mercy seat. It was there the blood of the sacrifice and the atonement was sprinkled. Within that ark was God's holy law, covered by the mercy seat. God's holy law had to be fully satisfied, and was in the death of Christ, and in his sacred obedience in this world, in his humanity. And in that sacrifice, shed blood of Christ, is the avenue of mercy to be known and experienced. And it says that atoning blood of Christ is sprinkled upon our heart and conscience, that we know what mercy truly is. One thing to talk about it, but the center of the gospel is the experience of it in the heart. Now, after the Lord's dear church has that work begun in their souls, and mercy is experimentally built up in their heart, And they enter into a sweet hope that their names are written in that Lamb's Book of Life, in that eternal covenant. There is what we read of in this psalm here. The children of Israel, chosen of God in eternity past as his national people. Where he would come, Christ would come into this world, to Jerusalem. We see the history. We see them brought out of Egypt, across the Red Sea. We see them wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And we see them brought effectually into the promised land. All a beautiful figure of God's work in the heart of a sinner. Coming out of Egypt, the Egypt of this world. Oh, examine yourself. Has God separated you from this world? Is it no longer your chosen ground, your company? Blessed mercy if God the Holy Spirit in his eternal covenant has entered into your heart by divine power and has separated you. Brought you under that divine commandment, come ye out from among them. Be ye separate, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Blessed mercy if grace is given to remember your Creator in the days of your youth and to be separated from this world that lieth in wickedness. It is a divine separation. It's a mighty separation. It's the work of grace, the work of God in the soul of a sinner to separate them to himself. But here is the work of God's Holy Spirit in leading a sinner to the mercy seat, bringing them down to himself and to cry for mercy. We see, we hear these cries in the psalm. In the psalms here, one of them, very precious to me, many years ago now, was this: pardon mine iniquity, O Lord, for it is great. Do you know anything about it? That will bring you to the mercy seat. And that mercy seat is Christ. In his sacred humanity, now risen and ascended to glory. As this high priest in heaven's high court above, touched with the feeling of our infirmities, because he walked this earth and understands each tempted member's pain. Tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. We come to one who understands. He was made perfect through sufferings. He's walked the path of his dear people, even through the gates of death. He knows what sore temptations mean, for he's felt the same. It is to come to him, to enter in, to acknowledge what it is for this scepter of divine mercy to be extended to us in the blood of Christ upon our hearts and consciences, and to know the peace of God which passes all understanding. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. All the children of Israel, as they wandered in the wilderness, how they disobeyed. And the words of this covenant, ordered in all things and sure, were these. Nevertheless, this was their sins. If they, his seed I'll make to endure, for if his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgressions with a rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not take from them, nor utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness, I will not lie unto David. And you see, when God has begun that work in the heart of a sinner, and he goes on through life, constant rebellion, constant unbelief, constant sinning against God, disobedience, defiance, coldness, carnality, deadness. Do you know anything of it? Just a lot of God's dear children in this world with a fallen human nature. To be a tried and tempted people. And yet, to ever rely upon this mercy. To ever come to the mercy seat again and again. Freshly contracted guilt. To come again to prove this covenant, ordered in all things and sure. And to prove his faithfulness. We change. He changes not. When we come to look at the faithfulness of God, his word shall stand. His truth prevail. And not one jot or tittle fail. What Christ has said must be fulfilled on this firm rock that he was built. Look back. Blessed mercy if you've something to look back to. Look back to his dealings with you. Look back to his promises to you. Look back to his help granted to you. The children of Israel did look back. Thou shalt remember all the way the Lord thy God has led thee. These 40 years in the wilderness. To prove thee and to try thee and to show thee what was in thine heart. And that is God's work. And when we come to him again and again, we expect not, because of our sins, that he will abide faithful to his word. We don't. Thou thoughtest, he says, I was altogether such a one as thyself. There we think is a breaking point, that his faithfulness will not stand. But you know, as we look in that word in this psalm, I'll make known my faithfulness to all generations. And we read it again and again, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of thy saints. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, and to thy faithfulness round about thee? And it goes on again and again. My faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him. In my name shall he be exalted. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. The word occurs constantly. Ever unchanging God. One purpose, to bring his people to glory. The extent of his precious blood, beyond what we can ever conceive. We need it and shall need it, again and again, all our journey through. When most, we need his helping hand. His friend is always near. With heaven and earth at his command, he waits to answer prayer. Daily, I repent of sin. Daily wash in Calvary's blood. A faithful and unchanging God. What do you know about him this morning? And what do you know about your own heart? What you know about your unbelief? You see, our unbelief is such that we don't credit that he will change. We believe that he will change to us. And he will not be faithful because we know in our own hearts that we deserve not his mercy. What is mercy if it's not extended to hell-deserving sinners? Those who have wandered from God, those who walked in paths of disobedience and defiance. You see, Jacob's been upon my mind this week. Mercy. Oh, how he wandered. I was looking at the reason he gave to his father Isaac when he was deceiving him. His father said, sent Esau to hunt venison. Jacob turned up with this goat in the place of venison. His father asked him, "How do you get it so quickly?" He said, "The Lord opened the way. He found it for me." What a thing to say. Mercy. And some of God's dear people have sinned against light and knowledge. I spoke here in the past week of Peter and all his sins. The way he denied his Lord with oaths and curses after such a sacred revelation. Mercy. When we look at the psalmist David, penned those blessed psalms, the 23rd psalm, the 22nd psalm, they contain the most precious revelations of Christ. They pierced his hands and his feet. They shall look upon him whom they pierced, and they shall mourn, but no, committed adultery, fell in deep dark sin. Mercy. Oh, mercy is the hand of God in peace extended to a hell deserving sinner. And when that hand is extended, then there will be some knowledge of his faithfulness and what mercy is. And the poor sinner will have to bow before his God under a sweet sense of his love and blood and say, "Why me? Why me?" We must forever lie in hell. We're not salvation free. It is a sweet spot to come to mourn over our sins, and yet to have a sweet sight of a God who is faithful and who changes not. We, deserving of his wrath, know he chastens his dear church, but he will never leave them. No, never, says the hymn, no, never forsake. And he won't. But he will chasten them. It's spoken of Jacob and the path the Lord brought him through many, many years. 30-40 years of divine chastening. But he came at the end of his days to be able to speak of redemption. "The Lord," he says, "that redeemed me." And that is mercy. And that is faithfulness. "The Lord that redeemed me from all evil," he said, "bless the Lord." What did he mean? He meant this: lead them into a knowledge of his mercy. Lead them into a knowledge of his redeeming love and blood. He had seen it in the sacrifices. They were there before him. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. God's dear children have seen these truths in Revelation. And I do say to you here this morning, have you any knowledge of his mercy? There must be a beginning in your soul if you have. Do you know him whom to know is life eternal? Has the eternal God spoken to you in your heart? Have you felt the power of his holy word? The Lord brings his dear church through great afflictions. I've walked through many in my life, bitter afflictions. Great weakness, much temptation. But to be able to look back to see his faithfulness, that he has not changed, that he has not left me, that he has abided faithful, the God of his word. Every time one feels not to deserve his mercy, and yet to receive it. And that is a sweet experience of the faithfulness of our God. That in spite of all, he doesn't leave us. In spite of Peter's great sin, I've prayed for thee. And God is faithful. He has purposes. That his dear children should be made as clay in the hands of the heavenly potter. In sorrow, godly sorrow and repentance. Hearts softened and broken in contrition before him. Ready and prepared to receive the hand of mercy in his atoning love and blood placed upon their immortal souls. And to enter into the peace of God which passes all understanding. And to know this mercy and this faithfulness in the precious experience of it. There's nothing, I believe, in this world to be compared to it. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. Yes. God is in heaven. We're in this earth. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts, says the Lord. Oh, have you any sweet experience of this in your life? A religion that is sound in doctrine is good, but that in and of itself is useless. We need a religion that enters into the experience of these sacred doctrines. To have a sweet knowledge of these blessed truths in our hearts. To know redeeming love and blood. And to be able to say with God's servant Job, I know. Well, search your heart this morning and ask yourself, what do I know? Much is going to be burnt up that people think they know. But the knowledge of God in the revelation of it in the soul can never be burnt up. The knowledge of Christ in our hearts is our own personal knowledge between us and him. You know whether he's spoken to you. You know whether he's been with you. You know whether he's upheld you. You know whether he's drawn you to his mercy, see? Satan will tempt you that it wasn't real, but he cannot take it away. God has only to shine like the sun, a shaft of ray of the sun through the clouds into your poor soul, and you will know the reality and the beauty and blessedness of what you knew at the time when the Lord spoke it to you. You'll be enabled to remember it. And you see, it leads us into this eternal covenant. I've made a covenant with whom? With my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. This leads us into the promises of God. I think of some of those promises in the scriptures. The Lord said to his dear servant Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward, that is Christ in heaven. Christ, his shield, and his reward, eternal glory. Again and again in the scriptures of truth, there are these promises. It is an unspeakable mercy if we have one. We don't need more than one to take a poor sinner to glory. The dying thief had one promise today. What a promise. Thou shalt be with me in paradise. They are the evidence of the bonds of the eternal covenant. The application of the atoning love and blood. The precious promises in their gift to God's dear people. They are a rock because of God's faithfulness in his covenant. They cannot be broken. Oh, how we often forget them. Bunyan's Pilgrim, when in Doubting Castle, giant despair, he didn't know how to get out. And then he remembered. He had the promises. They were the very key the exit of that doubting castle. Bunyan knew what he was speaking about. Oh, the blessedness of the promises in this eternal covenant, ordered in all things and sure. I have made a covenant with a day my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant, thy seed, will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. The shalls and wills of God, unalterable. Blessed, unalterable promises, demonstrating the faithfulness of our God, given in sovereign grace, undeserved, given in sweet mercy, flowing from that eternal covenant, ordered in all things and sure. I said at the beginning, God has one perfect purpose, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That covenant ordained in eternity past, ordered in all things and sure, Christ being sent here into this world, that the door of mercy may be opened, sin may be pardoned, and the Holy Spirit sent forth in time to take of the things that Jesus had accomplished on Calvary's cross and apply them in the hearts of his dear children. And it's only as Christ died for us on Calvary's cross, shed his precious blood there, that we can approach that mercy seat and plead that name which is above every name and say, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Amen.
Mr. Broom will address the Sunday school this afternoon and also address our prayer meeting tomorrow evening. Mr. Richard Woodhams is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Dr. Sadler is expected to preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday school in the afternoon. And God willing, there'll be a church meeting on Friday evening. Let us close with hymn 207. Father, how wide thy glory shines, how high thy wonders rise, known through the earth by thousand signs, by thousands through the skies. Hymn 207.
And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit, abide with you each. Amen.